I want to read this evening in the book of Hosea in the Old Testament and chapter 10. Hosea, if you're not familiar with where that is, if you open in the middle of your Bible, you'll either be in Psalms or Isaiah or somewhere around there. If you're in Isaiah or Psalms, keep on going. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And if you're anywhere else, then we'll find it. I only want to read one verse this evening anyway, so you might just want to sit and listen. First one that I want to read is Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. In fact, it's only really part of the verse that I want to think about, the second part of the verse, but we'll read the whole verse. It says this, it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." It's really that phrase that's found towards the middle of the verse that I want to concentrate on this evening. It is time to seek the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but as I get older, it seems that time is moving quicker and quicker. It seems like no time at all since we're breaking up for the summer holidays, and now the summer holidays are over and the children are back at school. Seems like no time at all since we're finishing the kids' zone for the summer, and next week the kids' zone starts with the children again. Seems like no time since it was Christmas last year, a new year, and now we're in the run-up towards Christmas again. Someone, I'm sure, will tell me how many weeks it is to go till Christmas. But time moves on, and it moves on ever more and more quickly as you get older. Which means that the verse that we've read becomes even more pressing. If you've never done it before, if you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation before, I want to suggest to you, in fact, I want to tell you this evening, I want to urge you that it is time to seek the Lord. The Bible will talk about a number of different things in relation to time. There's a very famous passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it talks about to everything there is a time and a season under heaven. And it starts off like this. It says, a time to be born and a time to die. Now, every single one of us in the meeting here this evening are between those two times. There's a time to be born. Now, we know when that was, presumably. We can't remember the event itself, but we were told the date and we can remember when it was. But none of us knows the date of the next one. There is a time to be born, there is a time to die for every single one of us, and none of us knows when that is. There's something else the Bible tells us about, and it's found in the New Testament, and it says this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Praise God this evening, in what date is it? The 23rd of August, 2015. It is still the day of salvation. Praise God this evening that each one of us here in the meeting this evening is alive to hear it. Because for each one of us here this evening, there is the opportunity to have God's salvation. There's the opportunity to have a place in heaven reserved for me. Now, I have a place in heaven reserved for me. It's been reserved for me for, going on for 30 years or so. It's a long time. There was a time in my experience when, as a lad of 8, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Yeah, my math is rubbish. It's a while ago, anyway. But there was a time in my experience when I put my trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. And at that point, heaven was assured for me. And since then, I haven't had to worry about what will happen afterwards. I haven't had to worry that when the time comes, a time to be born, a time to die, that when that time comes, I know that everything is settled, that I am right with God, that my sins have been forgiven, that I have peace with God, that I have a home in heaven. I want to ask you tonight, can you say that? Can you say that with the same assurance that I have? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Saviour? Hosea was talking to a people and he'd been preaching to them. Now, I was doing a little bit of calculation. From the dates that are given at the beginning of the book, he talks about the different kings that he was preaching during their reigns. Now, I reckon it was getting on for 50 to 60 years that Hosea was preaching to the nation of Israel. And Hosea was preaching to them and he was telling them that they needed to be saved. And he was telling them that they turned away from God. And he was telling them, he'd been warning them, that the judgment of God was coming. And now he was in the very last days of the kingdom of Israel. In a very, very short time, the people would be taken into captivity. Their capital city would be destroyed. Their nation would be obliterated. There was a day of reckoning that was coming. There was a day of judgment that was coming. And he'd been warning them about that. I want to warn you this evening that for every single one of us, there is a day of reckoning. Every single one of us, the Bible says, shall stand and give account of ourselves to God. Every single one of us. I want to ask you this evening, if that was tonight, how'd you get on? If tonight God drew a line under your life and he called you up before him for your day of reckoning, I want to ask you, how do you get on? What would you say? What would you plead? You know, there's only really one plea when we stand in God's court, and that's a plea of guilty. We'll think about that one shortly, and you've heard it before many, many times. There's only one plea in God's court, and that's guilty. Praise God, there's salvation, there is forgiveness, there is pardon from a holy God because of what the Lord Jesus has done at the cross, and there's pardon available. But if we don't avail ourselves of it, if we don't seek the Lord while there's time, and in time, then there's no salvation for us. And so for 50 to 60 years, Hosea has been warning the people. He's been speaking to them. He's been telling them. He's been bringing their sin before them. For Hosea lived in a nation that was corrupt. It was corrupt morally. See, Hosea had only to look into his own family to find that out. For Hosea had married a woman that was unfaithful, that proved unfaithful to him. And his children that he had, he didn't know whether they were his or not. The country that he lived in was morally corrupt, was morally depraved. The country that he lived in was socially corrupt. You know, they had different balances and different weights and measures. And they were cheating the people. And the judges in the courts, they were taking bribes. And the country that he lived in was socially corrupt. The country that he lived in was spiritually corrupt. They turned away from God. They turned their back away from God. They were falling down and worshipping idols, false gods, gods that could not help. His society was corrupt. His society was rotten to the core, morally, socially, spiritually. I want to ask you if that sounds familiar. Does it sound familiar? Does that describe Scotland in 2015? We'd maybe hope that there wasn't too much corruption in the courts. We'd maybe like to think that there was still an element of justice in our land. But I want to tell you, our land is morally corrupt. The laws of God have been turned aside. The institution, God's institution of marriage has been overturned. And our nation is morally corrupt. Our nation is spiritually corrupt. It used to be known as Bible-loving Scotland. I don't know that you could call it that anymore. And they're trying to get the Bible out of schools. And they're trying to take the Bible out of society. And they're trying to overturn what God has said. Our nation is in a bad way. I want to tell you, our nation is heading for divine judgment. In fact, the world that we live in is heading for judgment. The Bible makes it absolutely clear. So the world that we're heading in is not on a path of betterment. That's what we like to think. We like to think that society is getting better and better, and that we're working together to make it better. But you know, that's just a fool's dream, isn't it? Because as we look at the world around us, we know that the world isn't getting better and better. The world's getting worse and worse. And the world that we live in is heading for divine judgment. And if we're honest and we're open, we can recognize that and we can see that. But I want to tell you this evening that it's more personal than that. Because if our country is corrupt, so are we. So are we. We're not exempt. We're part of the country that we make up. And the reason that the country itself is corrupt is that it's made up of corrupt people like us. Listen to what the Bible says about our hearts. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now that's not very comfortable, is it? It's not something that we like to think about ourselves. But I want to tell you this evening, if you want God's salvation, you need to face up to it. You need to face up to the fact that in the eyes of God, you're a sinner. In the eyes of God, you've fallen short of His standard. In the eyes of God, you're guilty and deserving of His judgment. I want to ask you this evening, have you realized that? Has there been a point in your experience where you've faced up to the fact that you're not perfect? Has there been a point in your experience where you've faced up to the fact that you're a sinner? Now, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're just on a pathway of self-deception. Because each one of us knows that there are things that we do that are wrong. And each one of us knows that there are things that we say that are wrong. And each one of us knows that there are things that we think in our hearts before they ever get out or before they're ever done that themselves are wrong. Every single day we prove this fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single day. And so for 50 to 60 years, Hosea has been warning them of judgment to come. And he says, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. But you know, there's something else. There's something lovely that comes out of the book of Hosea if you were to read it. Now, a lot of it is at first glance pretty obscure and pretty difficult to understand. But you know, there's something lovely that comes out of it. And that is the fact that God loved these people. God loved these people. And God wanted to bless this people. This nation that had turned their backs on Him. This nation that had said to whom He had shown His greatness. And they said, well, we don't want that God. We'll turn aside to other gods. We'll turn aside to the gods that we've made. This God that had given to them His laws, His perfect laws, and says, if you do this, you'll have a wonderful society. I tell you, if our society kept the law of God, it would be a wonderful society. It'd be the place to be. It would be the absolute best kind of country on earth if we kept God's law. You know what it says about them? He says, you've forgotten it. I think it's more than just forgetting, isn't it? It's that they've put it out of their minds. See, the law of God makes demands on us, and we don't like to have demands made on us. We don't like to think that we're not actually doing as well as we think we're doing either. And so they put it out of their mind. They said, right, if we don't think about it, it doesn't matter. If I just don't think about it, then I can make it go away. Does that really work? Has it ever worked in her experience? Well, it won't work with the law of God either. Just not thinking about something doesn't mean that it's not there. And it doesn't mean that it's not going to have a bearing on us at some point or another. And that we're not going to be held answerable or accountable for it. But time and again in this book, Hosea was showing to them the love of God. The love of God. That God loved them. And God wanted to bless them. And God wanted to rain down a blessing on them. To shower forgiveness upon them. But they didn't want it. And they weren't prepared to seek him. And they weren't prepared to turn to him for salvation. I want to tell you this evening, God loves you. God loves you. I want to tell you this evening that God wants you in his heaven. God wants you to be with him in eternity forever. He wants you to share his heaven with him. You say, how do you know? Listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much God loved us. That he was prepared to give his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, the darling of his heart, the best thing that he had, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to another verse. Paul's asking in Romans, he says, he's talking about how unusual it is that someone would even die for his friends. That someone would die for a good man. He says, but listen to this. He says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a wonderful message, isn't it? A wonderful message that God loves you. And that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus laid down his life on Calvary's cross so that our sins might be forgiven. The Lord Jesus took the punishment for our sins upon himself. He took our place. And he took the judgment of God so that we could be forgiven and so that we could be pardoned and so that we could be made right with God, so that we could have peace with God, so that we could have a home in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful message? Isn't that a wonderful message? And so for 50 to 60 years, Hosea spoke. We've no idea what kind of a response he had, but you know, it doesn't seem to have been a very good one. It doesn't seem to have had great results. Because there came a time when the judgment of God fell on that nation and they were taken into captivity and the city was destroyed. And if they'd only turned, if they'd only sought the Lord while they had opportunity, things could have been so different. For 50 to 60 years he was warning them, telling them of judgment that was coming. For 50 to 60 years he was telling them of the love of God. I want to ask you this evening, how many times have you sat under the sound of the gospel? How many times have you heard the same warning? How many times have you heard that God loves you and he wants to save you? Here's the crunch. Have you ever done anything about it? Have you ever done anything about it? If not, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Now, as you're reading through the book of Hosea, you'll find that there came a time when the nation realized they'd got a problem. The nation realized that there were other nations around about them that were getting a bit strong and that were wanting to fight against them and that they were quite vulnerable. But you know what? They came up with their own solution to it. And it's a funny old thing. But the solution that they went for is the solution that proved their undoing. You say, what do you mean? Well, they'd got all these nations around us that were around them that were threatening them, and so they thought, right, what we're going to do is we're going to pay off a nation that's more powerful, and that was the nation of Assyria, And we're going to ask them to help us, and we're going to give them a lot of money, and they're going to help us. And that's what they did. But you know, it was the Assyrians who destroyed them. And it was the Assyrians who took them into captivity. So you say, what point are you making? So have you ever noticed that the solutions that people find in life, when they find themselves vulnerable, and when they find themselves, when they realize that there is a problem, that there is an emptiness in their life, the solutions that they find are the solutions that end up doing for them. And so people find themselves in a state of depression or in a state of emptiness, and they maybe turn to drink. And they find that the drink kills them. Or they find themselves in a state of emptiness and they turn to drugs, and it's the drugs that kill them. Well, they find themselves in need of something greater and they turn to religion. But religion keeps them away from God. I want to tell you this evening, you don't need religion. You don't even need Christianity, in inverted commas. What you need this evening is Christ. What you need this evening is the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. If you've never had Him, if you've never taken Him as your Saviour this evening, you don't need anything else. You need Him. It's time to seek the Lord. But you know, there was something else. A few chapters earlier, there's this cry goes out among the people, and they say, come on, let's return to the Lord. And He'll bless us. But as you go down that passage, what you'll find is that, yes, they wanted God, kind of. More particularly, they wanted God's blessing, but they didn't want to change. They didn't want to change. They wanted to carry on the way that they were. They wanted to carry on in their sin. They wanted to carry on with the life that they were living, and yet they still wanted God to bless them. I want to tell you, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. See, the Bible clearly teaches, it is a big long word, and it's a word that's called repentance. The word repentance simply means this, turning away. It means a change of mind and of attitude, a turning away from my sin. A turning away from the life that I've been living up to now, the life that I'm pleased with, the life that is keeping me from God, turning away from it. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to carry on in their moral corruption. They wanted to carry on cheating and lying and stealing and doing whatever they wanted. And they wanted to carry on in their own spiritual vacuum. But they wanted God to bless them anyway. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. The Bible teaches clearly repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, becoming a Christian means a change. It's a change of direction. It's a change of moving moving away from God to going towards God. It's a change from doing the things I want to doing the things that I should do. It's a move. It's a change. It's a change for the better. Infinitely for the better. Because it's a change to being what God intended us to be in the first place. A change to having what God intended us to have in the first place. And that is a right relationship with Him. And a right relationship with the Lord Jesus. Says John in his first epistle, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I want to say this evening that if you claim to be a Christian and there's never been a change in your life, I want you to put a serious question over whether you really are or not. If you say that you're a Christian, then there has never been a change. You've never turned away from your sin. There's never been a desire to turn away from your sin. I want to ask you whether you're saved at all. So, Hosea, it's time to seek the Lord. But to come to our verse very, very briefly, I just jotted down a few things. We might say, why is it time to seek the Lord? And we've dealt with some of them already. It's time to seek the Lord because everything's already been prepared. The way has been prepared that we can find, that we can find the Lord. You know, there's no point for looking for something if the person that we're looking for remains hidden. It's like a big game of hide and seek, and we could seek it all over the place and not find. But I want to say this evening that if you seek the Lord, and if you seek him with all your heart, then he'll be found by you. That's an absolute promise of Scripture, that if you want salvation, if you want the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, then he'll be found by you. And he's made the way. He has prepared the way. He's died for us on the cross of Calvary so that we can be forgiven. And so that we can have a relationship with God, so that we can have a home in heaven. He's done it all. I want to tell you it's time to seek the Lord, because that's the only way that's right. It's the only way of salvation. Says Peter, neither is there salvation in any other. Salvation's found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to tell you this evening, if you're looking for salvation anywhere else, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking for salvation this evening from anybody else, you're looking in the wrong place. Because salvation is only in the Lord Jesus. Have you found him? Have you sought for him? Have you found him? It's time to seek the Lord because, and this brings us back to where we were at the beginning, because time is short. Because none of us know how long we've got. And time is short anyway, and it's getting ever shorter. And time is passing quickly by. And there's an urgency about the message of salvation. Why is it time to seek the Lord? Because there's a promise of blessing. If we seek the Lord and we find him, there's a promise of blessing to those that seek. What is it here? It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, that's the righteousness that counts. Anything that we do can't earn us salvation. If we want to be right in God's sight, it needs to come from him. It needs to be a righteousness that is put to our account. It needs to be a righteousness that is placed on us. If you like, it's like a new coat that we put on. And it's a coat that we didn't buy. It's a coat that's given to us. And if we want to be righteous in God's sight, if we want God to look down and say, right, they're right with God, they're right with God, they're fit for heaven, we need to put on the garments of salvation. Remember, I was talking, last time I was speaking, I think, about the man in Matthew's gospel, wasn't it, who came into the wedding and he hadn't got on a wedding garment. And he got kicked out. If we want to be in heaven, we've got to be clothed in the righteousness that God gives us. God needs to make us fit for his presence. And that fitness, that rightness, only comes through the Lord Jesus. And it only comes through faith in him, through trusting in him as our Saviour. It's time to seek the Lord. Are you prepared to do it? Have you ever done it? Is God working in your life? Have you realized your need of salvation? Have you realized that there is something not right in your life? Something that's a barrier between you and God? Have you realized that? Well, if you have, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? And are you willing to come God's way? The people in Hosea's day weren't. A lot of the people in the Lord Jesus' day weren't. Says the Lord Jesus one day, and these are some of the most tragic words in Scripture. Says, you would not come, you will not come to me, that you might have life. What's stopping you from coming to the Lord Jesus? What's stopping you from receiving God's salvation? If there is, put it out. Get rid of it. Because there's nothing more important and there's nothing more urgent than seeking the Lord while he may be found. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this time we've had together this evening. We thank you, Father, for thy word. And we thank you, Father, for what it tells us. We thank you, Father, that it tells us plainly of our need of salvation. It faces up to facts very brutally in some ways, our Father, that we're not fit for thy presence. But our Father, we thank thee that thy word is full of the love of God. And our Father, we thank thee that thy word would tell us of the Lord Jesus who came and who died in our place. Our Father, we just pray that thou bless thy word to each of our hearts this evening. Is anyone listening here this evening or listening later, our Father, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, their Saviour? Our Father, we pray that thou'lt impress the truth of these things upon their hearts. And Father, we long, our Father, that sinners might be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so we commit ourselves to thee. We give thee thanks for this time we've spent together. We ask thee for thy blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.